How many of you have not been here or by internet? How many have not seen the illustration? Let me just put it this way. You have not yet seen the hula hoop. How many have not yet? Okay, that's what I thought. Now, we're going to go through it kind of quickly. I'll be honest with you, as a teacher, I don't care if I did this 99 times in a row. I really don't care. My job is not to say and leave. My job is to teach. And until you're taught, I haven't teached. And you're going to listen to me? I don't know. Now, I'm going to be really frank with you. Actually, I'm Gary with you, but my mind. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've been with Dave all week long now, so it's starting to rub off a little bit, I think, you know. And that's not all bad. Amen. These illustrations and this understanding, I'm going through one of the biggest changes of my Christian life. To me, and I don't know if it's affecting you this way yet, but if you'll continue meditating in this arena, I'm telling you, it's like I got a brand new Bible.
Yeah.
Suddenly, verses that have been my favorites, or they're all my favorites, whichever one I'm teaching that day. Does this mean, after this, seek just the simplest verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm never going to be the same.
Right.
I'm reading everything I read. Jim's message, was that just yesterday morning? I've heard similar sentences, but it's because something has opened in me that it's like, never man spake like this man. I mean, it was so captured me. I didn't want to miss a sentence. And we're going through a change that I really think is going to usher in the return of our Lord. Let's say it this way, at least going to usher in this revival that we've been seeking all these years. I know we're right on the edge. And if we had time, I know some of you, and I know some of the individual attacks you've been under. Others I don't know, but I could just almost guess. If I was the devil, and I saw somebody getting really close to something that I'd been trying to keep them from forever, for 2,000 years, I would throw everything in the kitchen sink too,
Amen.
Trying to stop them.
Amen.
So don't be surprised at that. But how many of you know, I already read the end of the book.
Yes, come on.
We win. We win. Amen. Amen. So look in your Bible. This has been kind of our launching verse all this week. Isaiah 55. I've never seen an illustration that brings this point home like this illustration. We're going to do it rather quickly today. Yes, sir. I'll do that in a moment. Okay. Isaiah 55. Starting in verse 8. This is like a whole, we're like, when did, I've known this verse forever, but it's brand new. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. We've read that. Intellectually, we know that. You know, it's like, Jane, see the ball? Yes. Okay. But now watch this. And if you've seen it before, rejoice. You're about to see it again. It doesn't take but 5 or 10 minutes here to lay this foundation again. Somebody gave me an old book. It was written back in the 20s. And the man who wrote this book was a mathematician, but he was also a believer. And it's called The Fourth Dimension in the Bible. And he starts going through basic geometry. You know, the lowest you go with geometry is a dot. That's the lowest thing. It's just a dot. And really, a dot has no space. It really has no width, no length, or no volume. It's just a dot. Okay? The next thing in geometry is a line, which really is a series of what? Series of dots. So let's pretend for a minute. We got this blue line. Now, my grandson, when he was younger, says, Papa, can you pretend? pretend with me for a minute that there is a universe called Lineland. Here's this blue line. In that universe, there is no left, there is no right, there is no width, there's only length. There's no vertical, there's no depth, no concept even of anything but forwards and backwards. And really, you see me standing full height, but I'm really a dot. I'm just a dot, and I travel. My whole existence is in line land. I can go this way, and I can go that way. And the thing of it is, I don't know there's anything else. I mean, this is the sum total of my existence, and maybe I went to Lineland University, and I'm very educated. I understand all the physics of Lineland, and we're happy, you know, and we're doing good and everything. And maybe I went to seminary, and I even know what's possible with God now, you know. And in my universe of Lineland, I'm just so happy, and I'm travel back and forth until suddenly one day, for some reason, there's an obstacle in Lineland. And I can't get past it. I can't. There's no concept of left or right. There's no over. There's no under. This is an impossible thing. Now, I brought a few verses here. You can just check these later right now. Luke 18:27 says, "The things which are impossible with Linelanders." No. "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." Luke 1:37 in the King James says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Okay, now, but to the Linelander it sure is. So he comes up to this and he's going, "It's an impossibility. There is no way. I'm just stuck right here. What shall I do? What shall I do?" But there's somebody, this fellow, he lives in Flatland. Give me my plane. I forgot to bring my plane. Flatland is more than a line. Flatland is like a sheet of paper, like a plane. Now, there's no height, there's no depth, but there is width. So it not only has line, it also has left and right, has width. And he's a benevolent person. He's pretty nice. And somehow, now I can't see him, but he can see my dilemma. In my little universe, I'm just bumping up against this problem and I can't get past this problem. And he's, but see, his ways in Flatland are higher than my ways in Lineland. And he finds he's just a benevolent person. So he just comes and he just gets me one day and he goes, "Go right." Now, as soon as I do that, as soon as I leave the line, everybody else in Lineland, to them, I disappeared. And they all go, "Ah! He was right there! And then he was gone!" Made all the papers. It was, you know, well, they're very skinny papers. They're just lines, you know. But and he just brings me around because his ways are higher than my ways and his thoughts are. And then he sets me back on the line. I never could see him. Did y'all ever read a scripture? Enoch was not. God took him. Anyway, how about, and Philip was found at Azotus. Okay. And maybe let's go. And when he puts me back on the line to all the Linelanders, "He's back! It's a miracle!" And they would really begin to probably worship whoever that was that provided such an answer. So this guy, though, he thinks he's God, but he's not. Oh, no. But see, he lives. He thinks those poor Linelanders. I live in Flatland. Look. I have width. I have height. I have width and left and right. And his universe is flat like this. He lives in Flatland. I keep saying it wrong. He's in Flatland. But he has more dimension than the Linelander. So he has a lot of freedom. And he can just do all of these things and run around. And everything's great. But see, he has no height and he has no depth. So he doesn't have any problem until a circle appears. Now remember, he's a dot, really. He's a dot on a plane. This is a series of dots, all connected. He's looking for an opening. He needs to be there. He needs to be in the center of there. He goes all around it and goes, maybe there's a door. Maybe there's a window. There's nothing. So now, even though his ways are higher than the Linelander ways, it's impossible. It's impossible. I've got to be in the center there. Come around on this side. I've got to be in the center. I don't know what I'm going to do, but there's another benevolent person who lives in Earthland. This is an Earthlander. He lives in the three-dimensional world that we live in, and somehow he can see this guy, but that guy can't see him. And he's watching this guy running around the circle. He can't get in. And finally, you know, he goes, all right, I'm going to help this boy up. And just picks him up. Because he has height. See, there's height in the three-dimensional world. His ways, his thoughts are higher than this man's ways and this man's thoughts. You see that? All right? All right. Thank you. You can be seated. For a minute. No, I guess Bronk, you can't. So now Bronk. Now he really something. Those poor Flatlanders, those poor Linelanders. He says, I'm educated. I had my own construction business. Besides that, I have been to Bible college. I know what's possible. I know the physics of my world. And I even know what God can do. They taught me at school and everything, you know. So he's going around until he faces something. Maybe like cancer. Maybe something else that's terminal. Something that you're just... Maybe, I know what it is. He comes to a wedding feast and they run out of wine. Jim, take it. You know the drill. By now you know the drill, right? And they run out of wine, see? And we don't know what we're going to do. Jesus, you might as well come on up here. Doesn't he look like Jesus? He got the beard and everything. You know, he got to have a beard. You know, I could pick Dennis back there too, but he's closer. Anyway. So, go stand by the Father for a minute. Well, now really, see, and it's not, I'm using wine. The real dilemma was sin. The real obstacle. And worse than that, that's really a fruit. The real obstacle was death. Okay, death. Nothing man could do about it. So the other day we said the first thing God did in the Old Testament, he sent these fallen creatures here, his word. And for teaching purposes, let's just say right now the law. In the Old Covenant, he sent the law and he says, now, keep this. Keep this. Here's the Ten Commandments. And you go, with your mind, you go, oh, this is what you want me to do? You know, somehow we have some idea. Oh, by the way, Jim is God, if you didn't already know that. Now, you young ministers, as you grow, whenever you're teaching in another minister's church, always make the pastor God. You hear me? Always. Don't ever make him the devil, okay? Although I kind of did that. But anyway, I might be in trouble back at the prayer center. I'm not sure. So God sends man first through the prophets in the Old Testament. See, Hebrews says in the earlier times, God spake to us through the prophets. And he sent his word through Moses was one. Keep my law. Okay, with my mind, I agree. I'm going to do this. This is the guy in Romans 7. With my mind, I agree that your law is good. But he starts reading that law and he goes, we're not supposed to covet. What? Because it's his nature to covet. It's his nature to do these things. He says, I wouldn't have known that coveting is wrong. I wouldn't have even known that had I not read it in your law. But if this is what you want me to do, okay, I'm not going to covet. How does Dave teach that? You know, the man in that situation, he comes home from work that day and the wife says, how'd it go today with that good-looking secretary at your job? And the guy goes, we better kill another sheep, you know. With all of man's best efforts, he can't keep this. Finally, he comes to this, and through the Jews, God was showing the whole world, you're flawed at your core. He showed all under sin so he could have mercy on all. You understand that? Okay. So first God sent his word, but we couldn't keep it. Nobody could keep it. So then God packages. The problem really is death. You got that? God packages life in the form of a seed. Speaks to Mary. Mary says, how will it be seeing I know not a man? How am I going to conceive? He tells her, the Holy Spirit, this Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, by the way, while we're right there, the actual words, when Mary asked, how shall this be? The actual words in the King James says, for with God nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
But in the Greek, it says a little bit more. That same one in the Amplified Bible says, for with God nothing is ever impossible. And there's a pigtail. No word from God shall be without power. To me, that makes a lot of difference. That makes a lot of difference. No word from God shall be without power. God's word is self-fulfilling if it's received in good soil. It is really identical to a seed. Exactly. The image of everything you need is in God's word. Well, what man needed was life. God packaged life in a corruptible shell, packaged life in his son. Jesus was born in the earth. Jesus was born. The perfect prototype for man. He's wearing fallen flesh on the outside. But on the inside, what kind of spirit's in there? Life. Life itself. Life from the Father. We watch that life. Now, if you really watch it closely, for 30 years, what we see different is he walked sin free. He was able to do, he was able to live what no man could live. Because that nature on the inside of him empowered him to walk. By the way, that life when you were born again, you didn't receive some lesser life. It says that same spirit, the same life that raised Jesus from the dead, that same life, not something less, that same life that quickened him is the same life that quickened you.
Yes.
See, part of me would like to think, nope. Jesus got more than I did. Paul got more than I did. No, that won't fly. I was born again with exactly the same life that Jesus was first born with and then reborn with. Not something lesser. So just the power of that life alone allowed him to be able to walk. Finally, somebody could fulfill the law. And he did fulfill it. But see, he himself, he had to walk through Nazareth till he was 30 years old in other towns. There were blind people there, sick people there. And he is love. He is love with legs. He is God in the flesh.
Amen.
And he walks by, but he can't heal the blind man. I wondered what that felt like. All that compassion. We feel it a little, don't we? Walk by Tommy Perez or Dennis and his wife Loretta's. They got two children that need miracles. We have them at the prayer center that need miracles. Walk by. Jesus for 30 years could live sin free. So can you. But he had no power. Now you're gonna have to be the Holy Ghost today. Will you be the Holy Ghost for me? Okay. Doesn't he look like the Holy Ghost? Come on. Yeah. Now here's the thing. He's representing the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit omnipresent?
Yes.
Is he not everywhere?
Yes.
If you'll allow me for teaching, I don't know that he has legs. But see, during those same 30 years, the Holy Spirit also walked through Nazareth. Walked by the blind man. Now here's raw power. I mean, this is the guy. Guy, is that okay? This is the dude. No. This is the man, the person,
yes.
Third member of the Godhead. I'll get it. You talk about raw power. He is the molecule changer, this guy.
Amen.
When he heard the words, let there be light, or in the Hebrew it says light be, whew, whatever he does, you know. Light be and light
yes.
was.
Amen.
I mean, this is the molecule changer. We talked last night or yesterday about Luke 11. How do we really get answered prayer? The kind of prayers that Jesus got answered. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Because without his work, there really is no supernatural work. You got that? Well, for 30 years, he had to walk through too and go right past the blind guy and the sick guy and the woman bowed over for 18 years and everybody else. They couldn't do anything about it either. Until that day when Jesus... Now, go up here with the Father for a minute. Until that day. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. Now, hang on. Yes, sir. Now, let me stop right here. Because this time we have another benevolent being watching the earthlanders. And they have a dilemma. They've come up across the ultimate hula hoop. It's called spiritual death. And he watched them come up against that and try and try and try. And he says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So he sends our answer from his realm. Let's call it the realm of the Spirit. Where God lives, everything is different, just like the Flatlanders universe was different than the Linelander. And the Earthlanders universe was different than the Flatlanders. Where God lives, can we just call it the realm of the Spirit today? That realm is so much higher than where we live. God says, they don't have any idea what I can do. They don't have any idea the answers that I have for them. So first he sends a visitor, Jesus, from that realm. Now on that day, that comes again. For 30 years he lived sin free. Finally it's the day of the baptism. For John the Baptist to baptize. And John didn't even know why. Come right up here where the camera can see you good. John doesn't know why. He says, I need to be baptized by you. I don't know why you'd want to be baptized by me. But Jesus knew how important it was. And again, I'm going to do this for benefit of those. See, what happened to Jesus? One thing for sure, Jesus didn't come to be baptized to wash his sins away, now did he?
No.
He didn't come to repent either, now did he?
No.
No, what's going on with that baptism there? I didn't get it for years. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. Because what happened there, when John lays him down in the water, I'm not going to make him fall. When John lays him down in the water, Jesus is making a visual vow to his Father. He says, I know why you sent me. I am going to go all the way to death. I am going to become sin and take all the sin of Adam into myself. And I will become the sacrifice. But Father, when John raises me up out of the water, that's demonstrating my faith in your word. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption.
Hallelujah.
And God looks on the heart. He looked at the heart of his Son, and he a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven, and God says, it is done.
Hallelujah.
He might as well have said, the first Adam is dead. Long live the last Adam. This is my Son. It was coronation day for the second man, the last Adam. What happened with the first Adam? He says, let him have dominion. And as soon as God said, now this is my Son, then the Holy Spirit comes. That same day he came down gentle like a dove. But the Holy Spirit came upon him to enforce dominion of that kingdom from that time forward. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And for we watch Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now what do we see? We see this life from heaven. Wearing, go walk around. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Blind see. The lame walk. Deaf ears open. Legs grow out in the service while you watch.
Amen.
And I mean, I don't care if ABC, CBS, and the Fox News Network is there. They can all see it around the world. It's called revival. And then Jesus says the most astounding thing to us. He says, you're going to go through an experience. It's going to take you from this realm where you live. And I'm going to rebirth you into the realm that I'm from. And that same Holy Spirit that anointed me, once you're born again, he is going to come and he is going to anoint you. And Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's revival. Anointed spit and everything. That's revival. That's revival. That's seek first the kingdom and nothing else is. Nothing else is. That's what he's called us to. Y'all can be seated. Last, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway. And I could go on from there, but that's enough. I want to leave time for Jim is going to kind of put the capper on this today. Now listen, Bronk did a master, every one of his offerings, his service. I mean, this guy, He's one of the few, like Jim says, I can count on one hand the people I listen to. This is one of them. If you haven't heard his, did you call it Faith 101? If you haven't heard Faith 101, you need to hear Faith 101. It's at bronkflint.org. Bronkflint.org. It is just, I mean, I'm a faith guy. I've been teaching faith for 30 years. And I'm going, dang. Can I say dang in church anyway? Like, it's too late now. It's already live. So y'all know me. I'm not very, you know who I am. Anyway, I'm going, I'm not ever going to tell him I took these notes. Just a simple little offering he did yesterday, and I'm thinking, at the Jesus' mother says, I want you to turn water into wine. No, she didn't say that. He says, we're out of wine. They're running out of wine. She just turns to her son and says, we need wine. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What we're really talking about is changing our thinking. Changing who our perception of who we are is, changing our perception of what's really possible in the realm that we're really from. Now, if that a dilemma occurred with me, let's just take Gary. I'd be nice to Gary, and no, I'd be mean to Gary. I can hardly. I'm pictures. My first thought, hey, we need more wine. I doubt my first thought would be, well, let's just change water. Because why? I'm still naturally minded. Amen. Not evil minded. No. Natural minded. Amen. See, and that's what Paul was really saying in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we have thought that just meant, well, what is seek first the kingdom? Get saved. Where I grew up, the denomination I grew up in, get saved, bring your offering, be nice, and go to heaven. That's seek first the kingdom. Never did I get the idea in that denomination, change water into wine, open blind eyes, cast out devils, heal the sick, walk on water if need be. If the boat left, just walk across. It's just dawning on me how unrenewed my mind really is. The other one he gave the example of, he says, remember when Jesus about to, they got 5,000 men, and it says plus women and children. So you're talking at probably 10 to 15,000. Get that picture in your mind. And, they've already been out there 3 days, right? 3 days. So the disciples, people, you start to hear the stomachs beginning to growl, they're getting hungry. So the disciples come and says, look, we need to go into town. We need to, where's Judas? We need the offering money. We need to go into town and buy some groceries. Now see, in Tulsa we have a thing called Quick Trip. I don't know if you have any quick stop stores around here, wherever you're from, what Shake and Go or whatever, I don't know, Quick Stop, something. But see, my thinking, if that was a meeting, and they come to me and says, hey, we're going to go into town and get some groceries. My first thought would be, hey, you're going to the Quick Trip? Could I get a tuna on rye here? My first thought was, yeah, me too. Jesus' first thought is, no, you feed them. See, that's the way he talks to me all the time when it comes to ministry. He's always telling me stuff. Well, no, I want you to feed the world. What he means is not food, spiritual food in our case. I want you to feed the world, and I want you to do it for free. And I'm sure I had the same look on my face that they had on their face. He says, feed them. And we're going, have you seen my wallet? Have you seen my checkbook account? I mean, what? Yeah, just feed them. See, his mind thought from the realm that he's really from. And our minds don't. I started to say, here's the problem, and our minds think from the realm that we're really from. And that's the lie. That is the lie right there. We are no... Okay, I'm going to say it out loud in church. Open the door, somebody. I'm going to make a run. We are no less a child of that realm than Jesus.
That's right.
Amen.
I got another one for you. You ready for this? Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? Wasn't he talking to Moses and Elijah? Now, Moses and Elijah at that point were still in Abraham's bosom. They... They had not yet ascended to heaven. They were not yet born again. But you remember, he's on the mountain, he's talking with them. And then all of a sudden, he began to glow. Remember that? Said, man, it was so bright. It's like fuller, it's like it had been whitened or something, you know. Let me tell you something. If we could take a zipper on you and unzip that flesh and your spirit man stepped out, you would shine just as bright. Did you ever hear a series called The Golden Man? It's by this guy named Gary Carpenter. I'd listen to it if I was you. Showed it to me years ago, but you would shine. Now, Moses and Elijah at that moment wouldn't. They would now because they've gone on and been born again and glorified. But at that moment, you could unzip them. Nope. No shine. But Jesus was the only one on planet Earth at that moment that had that life on the inside of him. But you have that same life on the inside of you. If we could somehow unzip you and your spirit man step out, you'd be glowing and bright just the same way. We don't know who we are. We've been hoodwinked by religion. We've been hoodwinked by natural thinking. We've let our circumstances preach to us instead of the Word of God. We've got to renew our minds to who we really are. Hallelujah. Y'all liking that? I'm reading my Bible now. I can't read it. See, once you've seen this, it might take two or three times to sink in. But for me, it has sunk. And I'm reading every verse I read. It's like, has this been in my Bible? You know, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And now it means where the realm that I'm really from.
Right.
Now it means all things are possible. Now it means. Well, now it means. I'm telling you, I'm more excited than I've ever been. I feel like we're right on the edge more than of revival than we've ever been. No wonder the devil's been throwing haymakers and kitchen sinks at you, trying to throw you, run you off, you know. I've never seen such attacks as I've seen in this, even in this conference. Well, I say never. Yeah, I guess I have too. But anyway, there's been a bunch of attacks during this conference. Why? Too much truth.
Amen.
He has to stop us if we're stoppable. I don't believe you are.
Amen.
I don't believe I am either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just checking. Jim is going to do the capper, and I do not want to tread on that at all. Yes, sir. Do y'all get something to write with? I'm going to close with this. See, the rest of that, I'll just read it to you because I want you to be getting ready. You've heard it 1,000 times anyway. See, the rest of that passage there in Isaiah, he starts talking about his word, doesn't he? As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. You might as well put a bracket around those four verses and write in the margin, Mark 4. Mark 4. That is the same message that Jesus preached. This is probably his reference text right there. Now, I did a message quite a while back. I just want you to make some notes. You don't have time to even look at all these. This is going to take less than 5 minutes. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Everything about his kingdom, whether we know it yet or not, he has not left us lacking. These words did not originate on this planet. These words and these thought originated where God lives. It is a miracle that you're able to hold it in your hand. It is an absolute miracle. This is from a realm not of this earth. But contained in here is what we need to know to function in the kingdom of God. Now thank God he not only sent us a book, he sent us a teacher from that realm. And I really recommend there's this up-and-coming young preacher named, what was his name again? Dave Roberson, that's right. If you want to find out how you can be taught directly by the Holy Ghost,
amen.
I recommend to you daveroberson.org. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this. If you have not yet heard The Born Again Trail, 6 volumes, 10 messages in each volume. If you don't have that in you, your homework assignment is set. That's what you need to do first. That's the foundation for the building that God is building. Okay? Now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is seeking first the kingdom. Number two, write down this sentence. The image of God's will is already within His Word. The image of God's will is already within His Word. Number two, it will produce that image without exception. Now you might put a parenthesis, Mark 4. Okay. All right. Now, to know God's will, look at Jesus. To know God's will, look at Jesus. If you only look at the Old Testament, you're going to get a distorted view of God's will. But Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you? You don't know who I am? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now here's just a couple of little tidbits. These are free. You already took up the offering anyway. Number one, nobody ever came to Jesus for healing that they did not get it.
Amen.
Every single one.
Amen.
Number two, Jesus never required anybody to repent before He healed them.
Amen.
He healed them, then He would say, go and sin no more.
Amen.
Lest something worse come on you. All right, point number three. Not one time did Jesus ever say, so I don't have this one written down. Phrase it however you want. But not one time did Jesus say, it is His will to heal you, but just not today.
Amen.
You'll never find that in the Gospels. He never said, come back Thursday, we'll check again. Never. There's no such thing as that. Now when Jesus, if He says, I'm here to demonstrate the Father, and if He does certain things 100% of the time, He heals them all. He heals them now. And He heals them without them even have to be a good person or repent. He heals them all. That's the will of the Father.
Amen.
Get over yourself. Get over that doctrine we were all taught. God heals.
Yes.
God saves.
Yes.
God delivers.
Amen.
And He does it every time.
Amen.
All right. This was their little reference, Isaiah 52:10. Don't look at it, I'll read it to you. Now, here's the sentence. God bared His holy arm through the finished work of Jesus. It's like even in the Old Testament, through the prophet Isaiah, God's going, okay, I've had enough of this. You false prophets keep saying, I don't heal. You keep saying, I don't save. Should have undone this other button. God goes, through my Son, I am going to reveal my bare arm of power. Should have Dave up here reading. You know. God rolled up His sleeve. The way Isaiah said it here, he said, Isaiah 52:10, the Lord made bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Now then, one chapter later, Isaiah 53:1, it says, but who hath believed our report? In other words, God bared His arm. But to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's to those who have believed God's report. That's called faith. Believe what He did. So the sentence there, the power of God's bare arm is revealed to those who believe God's report. The Bible is His report. That's the gospel. All right, now, here's the sentence. The reference here is Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. We're not going to even going to read it. The manifestation of power is no more complicated than planting and nurturing the Word. That's it. He said the whole kingdom works this way. If you don't understand this, how are you going to understand anything? The image of what you need is already in God's Word. God's Word will never fail you. It's never a problem with the seed. It's always an issue with the ground. We are the ground. Okay? Now get this. The next one. This is Mark 4, verses 14 through 20. The enemy's only effective strategy to nullify the Word is through these things. I think Jim touched on it yesterday. You know, the cares of this life. I worded it a little different. I want you to write these down. I'm going to close with this now. Here are the enemy's weapons to nullify the word. Because now get this, the word itself, it will produce every time without fail. There is no respecter of persons. It will produce it every time. The enemy has no power to stop God's word. None. So what he has to do is work on us. So here are the enemy's weapons to nullify the word from producing the full image. Number one, Jim hit it yesterday, lack of understanding. If you understand it not, Satan's able to steal it right away. You need the true revelation of God's word. Again, I recommend some teachings by this up-and-coming young evangelist named Dave Roberson. You can get revelation of God's word. Number two, the second thing, lack of endurance. The easily offended. Number three, easily offended and quit when met with resistance through affliction or persecution. I'll read it again. Easily offended and quit when met with resistance through affliction or persecution. Number four, this is the one in the King James. It says the cares of this world. Here's the way the Holy Spirit worded it for me. Number four, busyness with daily affairs and daily problems. You start becoming more naturally minded than you are kingdom minded. Number five, chasing after riches by serving mammon instead of serving God.
Hello.
Lots of preachers fall for that too. And the last one, number six, ego. The God complex. Wanting to be exalted in man's eyes. There is no power in Satan's... We have already been delivered from Satan's kingdom. His kingdom. Dave taught on this. Satan has been dethroned down to the natural things of the earth. He's not that powerful angel anymore. He can't just walk up and kill you. He has to get you to do it. He has to get you to take overdose on drugs. He has to get you into drinking alcohol and have a wreck. He has to do whatever. He has no power directly to stop you. He is more like an earthlander. You are a kingdom lander. That's why he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He says, the enemy has no power to hurt you. You shall tread on serpents and scorpions. And the enemy, he has no power to harm you. We're the ones in authority here. And boy, have we been hoodwinked not to believe it. I ask you again, I implore you, I beg you, otherwise, I'll come back next year and teach the same lesson. We have got to renew our mind to understand what kingdom-minded really is, who we really are. And I think you're going to be different next year than even this year. Amen? Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Jim now. Praise God.
Go ahead and turn over to Luke 13. I know I'm not going to be a long time. Of course, the last time I said that. Yeah, it's the last day. Who needs to eat, right? After all that pizza yesterday. What Gary was closing with is so true. It's that knowledge. It's that understanding. It's that comprehension of the kingdom. An analogy that the Lord gave me about this is... Roughly, I mean, not exactly, but generally speaking, Einstein gave the world his theory of relativity about 100 years ago. And when he came out with that, E energy equals mass times C squared, the speed of light squared, the science, the world, they looked at that, they weren't sure how to take it, they weren't sure how to understand it. Some of the greatest physics minds of the time, they really had a hard time. They disagreed, but they didn't disagree. They just never heard anything like this. So the more they studied and the more they dug into it, they begin to see the relevance of it, you know, theory of relativity. And really, it led to the development of what we will call nuclear energy, which the bomb is included in that. People didn't understand it. It was really so far ahead of anything anybody had ever known. But yet it was a reality for this natural world. The same thing is true in the kingdom. There are truths of the kingdom that we don't understand, but they are spiritually understood before our human minds are able to begin to grasp their operation in this natural world. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, let's say that we were going to take a physics class, and we wanted to understand all these things about the theory of relativity. Who would you want to be your teacher? Personally, I would want Einstein to be my teacher, because he's the one who gave the world that formula. He would be able to stand up there and explain it, because, I'll say it like this, it was birthed through him. So ultimately, he really would have been the best teacher to explain to us the theory of relativity. Okay, now we have kingdom relativity. Kingdom relativity is more powerful than E equals MC squared theory of relativity. Kingdom relativity can alter everything Einstein presented to the scientific world. I need to understand kingdom relativity so that I can operate by kingdom truth. If I do not understand kingdom relativity, I will not be able to apply the truth and principles of kingdom relativity when it comes to seeing people healed, when it comes to everything revealed by Jesus in the four Gospels. And really, beyond that, that Paul gave us and so forth. Now, who would we want to be our teacher when it comes to understanding kingdom relativity? You know the answer to this. The Holy Spirit. The one who has, you know, Einstein wrote his paper on the theory of relativity. Here is the paper on kingdom relativity. It's called the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave it to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That phrase, inspiration of God, means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit has given to us kingdom relativity, and it's in written form. Now, we read this, and we think, I have no clue. I don't understand what this means. Then I get born again, and I say, well, I understand some of it, but boy, there's a lot of stuff in here. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I mean, yeah, I believe this is God's word. It's truth. I'm not going to say it's not true. But at the same time, I am clueless. And the Holy Spirit says, I have been sent to be your teacher. I will explain to you the principles of kingdom relativity. I will start at the very basic level and take you into the advanced kingdom physics. However, if you skip class, and if you do not use your textbook, you are not giving me the opportunity or the ability to teach to you how to operate in the realm of the kingdom. Kingdom relativity, Einstein, not going to get into it, Einstein's theory of relativity, I mean, it dealt with the speed of light, just all kinds of stuff. I find it very interesting reading myself. But in the kingdom, kingdom relativity says, hands of a kingdom citizen laid upon the human body fighting sickness produces healing. That's kingdom relativity. My mind says, I don't understand that. That's because my mind is trying to operate by natural relativity, not kingdom relativity. And I don't get it. And if I don't get it, I will tend to deny it, and if I tend to deny it, then what I'm doing is I'm just shutting out what God wants to do. The kingdom of God is among us. Jesus said so. if I want this to happen, then I need to seek first the kingdom of God. Bottom line, seeking first the kingdom of God includes two things. Number one, meditating scripture. Number two, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's it. There's nothing else. You say, well, yes, but I could feed the hungry. Great, feed the hungry. Atheists can do that. We're talking about operating in a realm, operating out of a realm and a dimension that is every bit as real as what we see every day when we wake up. All too often, we've been raised in a religious atmosphere that emphasizes, well, no, it leads us to think of the kingdom as a concept more than a reality. And so we live with a concept. Oh, I'm in the kingdom. I'm a child of the king. But we don't understand the reality, the living, eternal reality of the kingdom. And because of that, we don't operate by kingdom power, kingdom authority, kingdom principles, kingdom physics. The Word of God, like, you know, Gary was sharing a moment ago, here we have this Bible. These are words, and they originated in the kingdom. But kingdom physics made it possible for the words that came forth out of the heart of God, crossing His mouth, if you will, being released into our realm. Kingdom physics enabled those words to be changed into something we can see in the natural. But these words, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Kingdom physics will alter their components so that they appear on your paper as ink. But they are still spirit and life. These are kingdom physics if you will accept it. The Bible is not good literature for our spiritual benefit. The Bible is kingdom physics revealed to us in a way that we can see them and receive them in our minds to sow them in our spirit. Now, in Luke chapter 13, you know, Pastor Bronk touched on this during the offering. It says, now remember, and we've covered this, not going to go back and look at a bunch of other scriptures, but Jesus went about teaching the kingdom of God. In other words, he was saying, let me introduce to you, let me put it in natural terms, let me introduce to you a higher level of mathematics that you've never known before. Let me explain something to you that your minds are going to say, do what? And you can't get it. You will be able to get it later on once you're born again and you have access to my way of thinking called the mind of Christ and you have a spirit that can grasp these things. So here he is, verse 10. He's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bound together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now you know everybody and their brother is watching this. And they've seen this lady, you know, week after week she shows up to church. And he calls her unto him and he says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He was speaking from a kingdom perspective because at that moment he said that, everybody still saw her bowed over. But he puts his hand on her. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now you would think everybody would be happy about that. But they weren't. Because the pastor of the church, the ruler of the synagogue, answered with indignation. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, he's trying to discredit Jesus in front of everybody. And he says, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. This guy's wrong. What this guy does, says, teaches, he's nuts. If you want to get healed, you got 6 days to get healed, you come on one of those days. As though he was going to do it. You come on by Monday. I'll only be here till 5. But you come by. Get healed. I'm thinking, okay, this lady's been like this how long? 18 years? Evidently, this is the first time she ever heard she could come the other 6 days. And I'm sure these people are thinking, well, we didn't know you could do this. If we'd have known, we'd have been bringing our kids by. We'd have been coming in when we had a hurt, a pain, an affliction. We didn't know you could do this too. He couldn't, and he knew it. This is that self-exaltation thing that religion will do. Well, Jesus, he turns and looks at him. Now remember, this guy started it, okay? This guy started it. He said to the people, the congregation, if you want to get healed, come and do it my way. This man doesn't know what he's talking about. Jesus looks at him. Look at here. Thou hypocrite. You could have heard the proverbial pin drop at that moment. And I'm sure this lady is thinking, what? She's over there praising God. Hallelujah, I'm healed. Thank you, God, I'm healed. And the pastor's trying to stop her too. Jesus says, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you... Now, when he says each one of you, he's not simply talking about the people. He's talking about the religious leaders. Does not each one of you... on the Sabbath, loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, now he's emphasizing her position in the covenant. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo these... Notice he didn't simply say she's been bound. She has an affliction. He's identifying the source of this. In other words, she's a child of the covenant, but apparently that covenant isn't strong enough to keep Satan from doing some things. Isn't this woman, a child of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You telling me that this work of God, that what did the Sabbath represent? Now, again, briefly, covenant day. You understand what I'm saying? The law. We're supposed to learn of the law, etc., and so forth. And when he said those things, all his adversaries, apparently there were more people than just, it was the pastor and his staff. All his adversaries were ashamed. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now let's modernize this a little bit. We show up in church and there's somebody who's been attending our church for 18 years. A spirit of infirmity. Well, we don't know if it's a spirit of infirmity or, you know, just something. And somebody sees her and ministers to her and just looks at her and says, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. Lays hands on her, and immediately she's made straight and glorifies God. And the pastor of the church answered with indignation and said, don't you know that healing is not for today? And that's what he was saying. Healing is not for today. This was on the Sabbath. Long sermon short. We're living in the Sabbath. You understand that? We're living in the salvation's Sabbath, if you want to call it. That's what we're living in. When preachers say that healing is not for today, what they're saying is your liberation is in Christ. You know, you may be saved, but that's as far as it goes. Doesn't go any further. That's it. No more. But the kingdom says, hey, this is a kingdom Sabbath. This is a Sabbath kingdom. This is everything you can think of God. This is the living reality that God intended the whole time. Healing is for today because it's always today in the kingdom. This guy here was messed up in his theology, but so are Christians today. Now, let me share with you what the Lord shared with me. When Pastor Bronk was up talking, you know, he was sharing from the same passage. And I'm sitting there. The Lord just dropped this right in me. And more than once this week, we've made reference to our friend Lynn Perez, her daughter, her son, Tommy, who's been diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Now, just generally speaking, there's something in Tommy's body that's hindering him from being able to stand up, move around, do what we do, effectively speak and communicate as we do. There's something there in his body that's keeping him from that. Now, if we can fix that thing that's in his body, he then will be able to stand up, run, jump, play, do all these things that he's supposed to be doing in the first place. But there's this thing in him called cerebral palsy. And the Lord said, I've got a lot of children with spiritual palsy. They've got something in them, religion, that is keeping them from being able to function the way they're supposed to function in my kingdom. And that something is a religious mindset which does not understand the principles of the kingdom. And so when we hear things like, it's normal for kingdom people to look at someone and say, you're loosed from your infirmity, be healed. And then be healed. That is day-to-day life. Just like you're sitting there, you've been breathing this whole service. You know, you've been breathing the whole service. But not one time did you stop and think, oh wait, did I take a breath? It's normal. It's just normal. That's the way it is in the kingdom. Healed is normal. Raising dead is normal. All of those things are normal in the kingdom because those are kingdom physics. That's the way it works. But as long as we aren't in that place of understanding it, then we have that spiritual palsy because it's hindering us from functioning normally in the kingdom. The only thing that's going to change that is, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? Well, my spirit's been reborn. I'm capable. See, Tommy has a body. If that thing in his body called cerebral palsy, if that wasn't in there, then his body would walk. He could throw the ball. He could, because he's already got what it takes to do those things. We already have what it takes. The kingdom is within us. We already have it in us. Now, we got to get the junk out of us that is preventing us from operating normally in the kingdom world. And the Word of God is the textbook. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. If we do not get weary in doing these things, and we stay in that classroom, meditating in Scripture. One of the things I absolutely love to do is sit and I listen to a sermon by Pastor Bronk or Pastor Dave or Gary. Sit and listen, and I follow along in Scripture, and I pray in tongues as I do. And the Holy Spirit will begin speaking to me. And it's like, you know, I've got my outside ears are listening to them. My inside ears are listening to the Holy Spirit. And my fingers are tapping away on the computer. This is the only way it works. You can't get this in a prayer line. It only happens when we make ourselves students. And we spend time meditating in Scripture. But now here's something that's important for us. We've all heard these messages. From this point forward, keeping this fresh in our minds, when we spend time in the Word and spend time with our teacher praying in the Spirit, He is going to be able to accelerate our learning and our understanding, because we now know more and understand better what we're after. And we're going to, just like Gary said, now I'm reading my Bible, it's like, this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means more now to me than it ever did. Well, see, now when we see those kingdom verses and we see these principles and these things recorded in Scripture, it's like, okay, now I'm starting to see this from a kingdom perspective. That makes it easier for the Holy Spirit to make it a living reality in us. And then we start living a normal kingdom life in an abnormal natural world, enforcing kingdom physics in corrupted physics of the natural world, and the blind eyes open and the deaf ears hear and the lame legs walk and the Tommies get delivered from the cerebral palsy. That's the way it works. We have to accept this as being a truth and then pursue it. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. The assumption is you're saved. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Please stand.